Our show today is focused entirely on the criminal justice system. Usually when we talk about our police, courts, and prisons, we hear horror stories of what's wrong with the system. Today, we'll be talking about what works. We're going outside the Bay Area to find ideas that we could bring home to our own communities. We'll hear three stories about simple solutions that completely change systems in places where criminal justice wasn't working. Our first story takes us south of San Francisco to Santa Cruz. Like most cities riding the economic downturn, Santa Cruz cut its safety and administration budgets last year. Cities like Oakland, with a track record of laying off some of its police force, can relate to having to do more with less. Now, a new predictive policing tool in Santa Cruz is showing other cities around the country and the world how they can make the most out of their resources. What it comes down to is not just solving crime, but preventing it. KALW's Nicole Jones reports.
Santa Cruz Deputy Chief Steve Clark has been with the police department for 25 years. But there are some things that even experience doesn't teach. Up until now, he's been trained to respond to incidents.
Back in the day, you would ask any police officer, you know, what does it take to make your city safe? And the pat answer was more cops. And really, you know, I've described that as kind of primal policing. Because it's a primal response. There's not a lot of thought to it. There's not a lot of analysis. You're just going out there and hoping that you get lucky just by sheer numbers.
Now he's trying to predict what will happen on any given workday.
First of all, the officers will have roll call.
So they get all of the new pertinent information regarding, like, who's wanted, where extra checks need to be done. And this is where they're going to get their initial information about where the predictive policing zones are.
A year ago, Clark hardly knew what predictive policing zones were. But today, they're an integral part of his job. Clark, like every officer, carries a list of the day's top 10 hotspots.
So what we do is we list those in terms of the highest probability on down. It's kind of like our version of Letterman's top 10 list, if you will.
Next to each location is a percentage based on recent statistics showing whether a crime is more likely to happen in a car or in a house. That helps officers know where to focus their attention, scanning driveways, watching for open windows on houses, or on people hovering near cars. At the top of today's list is a downtown triple-decker.
The triple-decker, yeah, it's not an ice cream cone. It is actually a parking garage here in the city of Santa Cruz. And that's actually, that one's visited the list quite a bit.
Some residential areas near the boardwalk are also high on the list.
We'll get down into the beach area. I'll show you some tourism areas. So, and what I want to see is I want to see what kind of probabilities we're looking at here. And so now we're just going to go hit the street.
Predictive policing came from an unlikely place. George Mueller, a mathematician at Santa Clara University, and a team of UCLA professors created an algorithm to predict the location of earthquake aftershocks. They use patterns to see how an earthquake originating along one fault will cause additional earthquakes and connected faults. As it turns out, crime waves follow similar patterns to earthquake aftershocks. So they shared this concept with the Los Angeles Police Department.
There's nothing quite like getting a team of mathematicians in with a team of police officers and trying to see what you can do.
Zach Friend is a crime analyst for the Santa Cruz Police Department. He says usually, cops and stats don't mix.
Basically, nobody understands them, but everybody trusts them.
And they found remarkable results.
Looking at Los Angeles data, they found that there were certain neighborhoods had characteristics that led to either lower or higher than average crime rates. When they boiled that down even further, they found that those crimes clustered, not just in neighborhoods, but even by time, so that if you had a crime on a certain day, you were much more likely to have other crimes occur within a couple days or within a couple hours of when that crime occurred.
Time, place, and type of crime are all that's factored into the equation. And unlike hotspot policing, which is popular in many departments, predictive policing is calibrated on a daily basis. In the summer of 2011, Friend says Santa Cruz decided to try the model out.
It took quite some time for us to get it set up, and there's a few reasons why. We wanted to work with the line-level officers to say, what should the output look like? Also to explain to them what we were doing so they didn't feel like this was any kind of replacement of their talents or their intuition.
Instead, says Deputy Chief Clark, the model pulls them into areas they might not otherwise spend time in.
I know that if I go out on a main thoroughfare, I can probably arrest somebody and find somebody who's doing something.
That's typically where patrol spends a lot of time, and it makes sense. Statistics show that's where many crimes and arrests happen.
But they're not always the ones that are impacting the quality of life in the neighborhoods where people are living or where their businesses are.
Since it's been implemented, Santa Cruz cops have adjusted their patrols. And the model has shown quick and promising results for something police departments usually don't do, prevent crime. And remarkably, they've done so in a time of dwindling city budgets. A lot of that has to do with the department's approach to technology.
Last year, we set a record for the number of calls for service we've had in the 160 years of our agency. We did that with 20% less sworn staff and nearly 30% less non-sworn staff, such as the crime analysts, to help out with that system.
Last year, the department also released an iPhone app for residents to view real-time crime maps, provide crime tips, and view photos of wanted suspects. New technology, Friend says, is changing the landscape that law enforcement agencies are operating in.
I mean, quite frankly, everybody's cutting police officer positions right now. So what do you do with less? And I think that using technology like this, leveraging technology, is essential to do exactly that.
Santa Cruz was the first in the world to implement a predictive policing program. Since last fall, the department has been contacted by about 150 police agencies around the U.S. and law enforcement agencies and news outlets from Brazil, Mexico, Japan, France, Germany, and Denmark.
So I'm pretty confident that this is going to become more normal in the next 5 years than it currently is.
For Cross Currents, I'm Nicole Jones.